Good morning. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Just a couple of quick announcements before we get started today. Geshe-la will be coming in a moment, and if anyone's here for the first time, we all stand when Geshe-la comes in. You'll see some of us doing prostrations, a type of bow, but don't feel anyway obligated that you need to do that. If you have a cell phone on you, if you could please silence it. As being exampled here for us, if any of the kids want to come up front, please do. We'll be using the white. If you're sitting here on a cushion, they're in front of you. If you're in a chair, they're behind you. And if you're in the pews, they're off on the end of the pew. So, and the last thing is that Geshe-la asks us to write down questions if we have them. And so there's a way to do that online. If you think of something when you're at home and you're thinking about something and you have a question, you can go to our website and send in a question. Or we have some quarter sheets of paper in the literature rack here, so you can always fill that out and bring it and set it here on Geshe-la's table. And in one of the weeks to come, he'll answer it. So, all right, so let's just sit quietly for a minute, and Geshe-la should be in any time. Okay, if you turn in the prayer books to the first base sheet, we'll say Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. Sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sam Chan Tam. On the bottom of the pink sheet, we'll do Chen Reizig's mantra eight times. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. And then Green Tara's mantra seven times. Om Tare Tu Re So Ha. Om Tare Tu Re So.
soha. Om tari tu tari tu re 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 soha.
All right, and the children are free to go to their classroom now. And if you're here for the first time, if the parents could go out into the lobby so that they'll see where their children are going and get them set up.
This question has been sitting here last two Sundays, so forgot this morning again to read.
It says, how to live on a smaller budget, less money than before.
cut vision. So somebody needs to answer the questions. Police voluntary. So monks has no budget. Okay, we'll talk after the show. Yeah, Chukra, you say something?
Sure.
Please, you say.
Well, I mean, we talk so much, you know, in Buddhism about attachment and trying to lessen our attachment. And so I think for a lot of us, our typical Western life has so many extras in it we don't even realize till we start really analyzing and picking it apart. And so there's all kinds of ways to be, I think, just as happy and just as satisfied with less money. The teachings are that it's not the external that makes us happy anyway, but it takes some thinking about that to really think that's true for yourself. But to me, it's just a natural fit with Buddhism. The more you look at attachment, then you see that there's less that you really need.
Shall we move on meditations? Maybe if you have contribution, then next, I say, after meditation, you can give some contribution, okay? So, now this class is like Groundhog Day for me. Before this, there's only one session has already been there. So I'm supposed to say everything that what I said in the first session. that's good news. So this book is called Guide to Buddhist Way of Life, actually how to open up your heart, okay? How to become open-minded. So this all this book. Can you hear? So this book is all about how to open your heart or to become open-minded. We should not close our heart based on our belief. No, we should open our heart based on possibilities. So this book is written in 8th century. So now we live in 21st century. So all the message in this book, is very, very beneficial. So Indian master, Shantideva, who wrote this book, you know, Shivala, in Tibetan we call Shivala, in Shantideva. So this book has been widely studied in monasteries. Monks, we memorize this, we memorize all of them. So so we memorize, this has been widely practiced at the monastery. So His Holiness the Dalai Lama learned a great deal about how to as a promote basic human value, totally based on this book. So I've been reading this, has 8 chapters, and beginning of the chapter number 5, it gives, Shantideva gives, in the 8th century, Shantideva gives the, why the I think, the way I look at it, is like, there's the purpose of meditations, why we meditate, okay? Here, you know, like, say, in your world, in my world, in our world, you know, so there are like, there's horrible things, you know, tragedy that's happening in your world, in my world, you know, some of them are very visible, we can see, we can hear, we can, you know, hear about, we can see them, you know, then certain misery that we don't see, necessarily see, but based on culture or traditions or beliefs that we have, that, you know, there are certain also another types of fear that we have, that's very not visible, you know, not have very clear clue. But all of that, visible, invisible, all of that, whether that's in your world, is like the thinking is somewhere else, you know, any of that. Well, so then Shantideva, I'm trying to summarize this. If you read the beginning of the chapter number 5, so then you will see some of that, okay? It says, you know, tiger, lions, elephant, you know, things like that. It didn't say cockroach, but I think Tibet, there's no, in India, I'm not sure, maybe this translated into Tibetan in Tibet. So there may be something there. Anyway, so, so now summary here, all the fears, whether it's individual, related to individual life, or maybe related to the community, or related to the government, or related to the whole world, you know, such as like environment issues, like the weather issues, or then like doubt, or then famine, disease, whatever it is. It's been said, 8th century, it's been said. No, now we are in 21st century, we are reading these books, 21st century. At that time, all the fear, that there are many, many new fears that we face, those people, Shantideva, power they never face. You know, there's a lot of man-made problems. So, all the fear, all the sufferings. So now it says here, Shantideva saying that what Shakyamuni Buddha said is all because of the mind. It all comes from mind. So now you have to ask your question, is that true? No. So this all comes out of mind. So now, this morning, what we did, like, let's go. So then, not from this book. So another quote. Say reflection, perception, reflections. Nawa in Tibetan word, nawa means appearances. Nawa sinjiranji. Appearance is nature of mind. You understand? Appearance is the nature of mind. Directly, that's what it, when you translate nawa sinjiranji. Appearance are nature of mind. Same tombe ranji. Then mind is like sky. Clear blue sky. That's what's nature of mind. Clear blue sky. Everything that's happening here beyond is clear blue sky. So there's one meditation that is called like mixing your mind with the sky. Or mixing your mind with the sky. So what you do? You just imagine. Because mind has no color, no shape. You just imagine something in your body. You imagine something, some shape. You imagine. So then you think, oh, that's my mind. Then you as a shoot that up from here, deep into the sky, clear blue sky, so then become one with the clear blue sky, so that's your mind. So I go, that's what it means. Nature of mind is empty, that's what it means. It's empty of everything that happened. It's like reflection, it's like mirror. It's clear. There's nothing in the mirror, but there's so many reflections. But the reflection is not a mirror. The mirror is not the reflections. But it reflects in the mirror. Why? Because it's crystal clear. It's clear. But no, you like say, whether reflection is there or not, mirror is still there. So that's like mind. Okay, that's like mind. So now here, including myself, all my friends here. So meditation is, you know, it's important. It's not just necessary. It's very, very important, meditations. So, and I've been here, you know, teachings last 15 years. Mumbling last 15 years. Can you imagine how many I said last 15 years? Can you imagine twice a week, sometimes three times a week? It's been like 15 years. So now, like something simple that you can do at your home, you know, some simple meditations. So if this is the case, okay, now appearances of nature of mind, or you can directly, it says appearances, indirectly reflections, or is the nature of mind, the nature of mind is empty, if that's the case. So now it's very, very important. In this case, it's very, very important to guard our mind. We learn how to guard our mind, okay? Guard our mind. Why you guard? If you don't guard your mind, so then you cannot produce peace of mind, calm mind. So only way, according to the ancient teachings, only way you can produce calm mind, peaceful mind, you concentrate. That's all. No more, no less. You concentrate, why it produces calm mind. That's it. So we learned this technique. Technique has been taught many, many years ago. So a little bit happy about that because some instruction, I'm here simply repeating those. Just repeating. Okay. So what we'll do? So the foundations is also very important, you know, to understand ethic. Ethic is foundations. No ethic, no concentrations. That means no successful concentrations. The foundation has to be ethics. So ethic does not just come from religions. His Holiness says ethic beyond religions. Whether believer or no believer, there's like secular ethics. So that is the foundations. So then based on that, then we build concentration, okay? So you concentrate. So why you concentrate? Because someday, jishi, concentration produce calm mind. I've been said this many Sundays in a row. Does not mean I don't believe that you don't learn. I do know you learn. You are smart people. But it has to go here. From here to here. And there's something that meditations, something that we should do again and again. Okay, so making yourself familiar with something. That's the definition of meditations. So what we do, there's a couple of different ways. I say, putting all your attention closely. So that means when we meditate, you can go to flea market. If you're meditating here, but you are in the Whole Food looking for chocolate chip cookies, that's not meditation. So we have to 100%, we have to be with us. We have to be present, okay? Concentration. So that means putting all your attention very closely on physical movement, okay? Lyutia Manjisha. That's called putting on physical movement. Whether it's like walking meditations and physical movements, that means putting all your attention very, very, very closely on physical movement. So then putting all your attention very closely on mind, that's more challenge. We'll talk that later, so that's not easy. So then putting all your attention closely on feeling. Okay, feeling. So then putting all your attentions closely on beside body, feeling, mind, then, you know, can be like, say, flower, or could be like waterfall, could be like colors, you know, this is like beside that. So there's four different types of meditation. So you know, this morning what we did, you know, in the beginning, we did this called nine round breathing meditation. You know. So please use your left hand, okay, left hand, block your left nostril. So this is each time when you do breathing meditation, make sure that your body is like straight as uncooked Italian spaghetti. Uncooked. Okay. So that means straight, liu tong. When the body is straight, channel is going to be straight. The channel is straight, energy will run through smoothly. Liu tong na, sa tong, sa tong na, lung. Means no oxygen or whatever you call oxygen or energy will go flow through easily. So, no, it's very important that the back should be straight, must be straight, okay? So then please use this left hand, blow your left nostril, inhale, long, slow. Then, you see, then block same hand, again. That's faster, that's three. So now please use your right hand, block your right nostril, inhale, long, slow. There's six. So now from both nostrils, inhale, exhale. Each time when you inhale, you count one, okay? One more time. This is called nine round breathing meditations. Okay, there's three sets. First set three, second set three, third set three. That's called nine. Okay, long roll. So then it's also important to know the purpose of this meditation. Long roll, long wasted oxygen or wasted energy. How? So this is important because sake of knowledge is important when you explain to your friends, you know, sake of knowledge. How the energy been wasted because not concentrating, because mind is divided into 100 different categories. Minute we wake up in the morning, you know. So Obviously, that we breathe, believe or not, in and out 21,000 times a day. I never count. So, or maybe someone, if you are wondering, you can count, you know, so maybe, I'm not sure. So, anyway, so that's what is according to text, we breathe in and out 21,000 times. Each time when we breathe, somehow it distracts our mind. Okay. So anyway, so now that's how the energy will get wasted, because mind is like, it's like small creek, but each creek doesn't have power. It's all over the place. So now when you concentrate, you try to bring them together to create one big creek that runs powerful, strong, it runs better or smoothly. It will go exactly the way you make the line. If you make, then it will go, you know, otherwise, you know, all this. That's what His Holiness said. It's like that, okay? So now, that's how this energy has been wasted. So if you concentrate, then you are creating useful energy. Whether it's like useful or wasted, you cannot stop them to go through your channel, it will go. Whether it's useful, wasted, you cannot stop. You cannot stop. So that's why we concentrate. So this 9-round breathing meditation is how to get rid of this wasted energy. Do contribute physical discomfort. Wasteful energy do contribute physical discomfort. Physical discomfort contributes to mental discomfort. More useful energy will contribute to the physical comfort. So that will contribute mental comfort. So that will lead to mental pliancy. So that will produce physical pliancy. So that's all the above karma abiding meditations. See, when you see that outside, there's like painting, elephant, the monks, the monkey, the rabbit. That's actually trying to express this karma abiding meditation through art. That's what it is. So now you see, so this is good news, second knowledge. This is important to understand, okay, second knowledge. So now, we'll do one more time. This 9-round meditation is good to begin with. This 9-round breathing meditation is like getting rid of. In negative energy could be stress. I don't know. I can't say 100% sure, but you know, 100% sure it will get rid of negative energies. That's 100% sure. Could be no stress. No, could be fear. So how we define energies? No, how we define energies? Okay. So we'll do one more time together. That's first 3 set. Now second, yeah. Yeah, that's second set. So now third, from both nostrils, not from the mouth, both nostrils. Okay. This is called 9-round breathing meditation. You can share with your children. You don't need to say any prayer. Instead of telling them, calm down, take deep breath, you teach this 9-round breathing meditation, it will help them. You don't need to say any prayer, you just sit them, just teach them there, you know. So that's sake of knowledge, then please, you know, each one of us in this room, according to Mahayana teaching, we have responsibility for happiness for all living beings. You know, you do, I do, everybody does, we do, you know. Okay, so then at least we can, you know, intellectually we can benefit them, we can teach them something. You know, so then they can do. Then you do, you get benefit. Instead of hoping, oh, Gisela will do meditations, or maybe I'll get benefit. That's not how it works. Oh, Gisela will go around the stupa, I get all the merit. Okay, so not like that. So we need to do meditation. So then, second meditation has been invented by one of the European monks who follow Theravada traditions. And he invented this meditation in Thailand, near Chiang Mai. So this is not something that we do in Tibetan Buddhism. So lineage needs to be clear, you know. But we do these meditations, we get benefit. That's what we do. So lineage needs to be clear. Otherwise, that's called garam masala. Garam masala, that's Indian spicy. So there's been many spices mixed up. So then down the road, it's going to be like that. Nobody has idea where it's come from, who told. It sounds like Buddhism. There is no Tibetan Buddhism. Buddhism is very, very important that lineage has to be clear, very clear. Whether it's from Gelug tradition, Kagyu tradition, Nyingma traditions, Sakya tradition, it needs to be clear that people have clear understanding rather than thinking, oh, this is all one. That mistake, that's not one, because they have different lineage. Sake of that. So this meditation is invented by one of the European monks in near Chiang Mai. So they're basically too mindful. So what we do, there will be like 14 physical movements, okay? 14 physical movements. Also, walking meditation can be same. Walking meditation, this movement can be same. This is all like putting all your attention closely on physical movement. So when you move your head, you have to be 100% sure that you are there. Moving your head, going to the flea market looking for something, so that's not good. That you are not really here. No. So this is mindfulness. Why mindful? Why focus? Why concentrate? It produces calm mind. That's all. That's the only way according to ancient teachings. Okay. So there will be 14 physical movements. So just sit like this. Imagine you are sitting like this. So this is my lap. Okay. This is my lap. I'm putting my hand, both hands like this, okay, like this. Physically, you have to be comfortable. You can't be stressed out. You can't meditate. If you are stressed out, you can't meditate. You know? What you do, if you are really stressed out, you have to do breathing meditation. First, you have to do breathing meditation. If you are really stressed out, you do 9-round breathing meditation. Then after that, what you do, you watch your breath in and out 21 times at this. Exhale, inhale. Count 21 times. That's a way to, how to say, make you settle, calm. Okay, comfortable mind, comfortable body, comfortable cushion. That's how you meditate. You know, if you're really angry, you can meditate. It'll be wonderful if you can meditate when you're very angry. It'll be wonderful. More likely that meditation is not going to be a good one. Okay. Oh yeah. So now, just imagine that you put your hand on your lap like this. So then, there will be 14 movements, okay? So then slowly, move your hand, move like this, right hand. Slowly, with full awareness. Okay? I'm 100% with my movement. I'm 100%. It's not like 50-50 like that. So that's what we have to try. Okay? I'm not saying the beginning that's going to be like this. At the beginning, I'm not saying that. But that's the goal we have to try. We have to be there, 100%. Okay? Okay, slowly. This fast movement. Then pull it back slowly with full awareness. Pull it back near your tummy like this. So now the left hand slowly open. This is like putting all your attention very closely on movement. That means you are there. Goal is to be there 100%, not just spacing out, okay? Yeah. Then, same. Then move above the other hand, move above other hand, yeah, like that. So then now other hand, move up here, move up slow, slow. Then move out. Then move down. Then put it back, same like before. Yeah. So now this hand, move up. Slow, slow, push down. Put it back. Like that. Very simple. Not that complicated. Very simple. The challenge is that make sure you don't have to do this meditation. Nobody told me I have to do meditations. I do because voluntarily, deliberately. So when you do, we do it well. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. Why you do? Just better to go to flea market, because anyway you are going to the flea market anyway. You are in the flea market anyway. You are not even here. Better to go there physically, mentally. Better to go there physically, mentally. Just going mentally. So concentrate. Why it produces calm mind? That's all. That's all the explanation we need. No more, no less. Concentrate because it produces calm. It makes your mind calm, peaceful. That's why you concentrate. Okay. So then another thing is important that we all need to know: power of meditations. Why you meditate? What is the power of meditations? The power of meditation is to reduce negative thought. Okay? That's the negative thought that not best way to help yourself. Any negative thought is about yourself, is about other people, other culture, other traditions, other belief. None of them we need. None of them. No, that's the best thing. That's the last thing we need is negative thought. We don't need any of those. Is it going to be easy? It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Or should we give up because it's not easy? It's never going to be easy. So it's never going to be easy. So maybe hope that somebody will make it easy. That's not going to happen. Because no. So then that's the power of meditation. I want you to know the power of meditation is to minimize negative thought, okay? So then, now back to the appearances. No, these are meditation. No, so then I hope the next Wednesday, next Sunday, some of you voluntary to lead this meditation for us. Okay, so I don't feel very comfortable by the pointing people to ask them to voluntary, so you can. Voluntary, that's how we benefit each other. You know, you lead, help, okay? So now, back to the, perception, reflections, like, mind is, think, your mind is like mirror. All clear blue sky. Everything that has been said here, just repeat. You know, hasn't been said. Everything has been said. You know, okay. So many things happen. This is all like as a reflection. It's a reflection. So, jigde talu chila thulu ni talu chimis one way to look at one. Way of looking. Not different way of looking. One way of looking, but different way of seeing. So that clearly indicates it's the perception. It's perception. So this morning, what I told, this is just example. So this is a beautiful glass. Say it is not Kadamba said the glass is my glass. I pay a lot of money for this. No, this is precious. I myself is completely tied with that glass. No, it's not. There's no gap between me and the glass. It's all tied there. The inside the glass, there's butter tea. Butter tea that probably you don't like, but Tibetan people, we love butter tea. Then let's imagine Milarepa. You know Milarepa? The Tibetan great master, great yogi, hermit, who anywhere, so you can read about Milarepa. There's books there. So let's say I'm sitting here, Milarepa sitting there. Just imagine Milarepa sitting here. Somebody bringing this, somebody is very kindly bringing this tea. All of a sudden, drop the glass on the ground. You know what I will say? You know what Milarepa will say? Same thing. We both looking, we both observing somebody's, how you say, loose, how you say, somebody dropped the glass. Glass there, somebody dropped the glass. So, Milarepa here, I'm here, but you are here, said that person, all of us here. What Milarepa will say, you know, Milarepa will say, oh, it is there. It is there, it's gone. That is the nature of impermanence. That's all Milarepa will say. That's all Milarepa will say. And he will move on. But I will say, how come you dropped the glass? I will say, that's how I make my life miserable. So, Milarepa learn lessons. You move on. So I, not learning a lesson, not just that, trouble that, how come that you drop the glass? You can ask me for someone else to bring. Why you don't have to bring? So now, then, you know, if there's brand new carpet, oh, that is going to be a nightmare. You know, brand new carpet. You just bought the carpet. Someone dropped there. How much paint they cost? How much they paint they cost of Milarepa? No paint. So, every mistake. We go on and on and on and on, not learning any lesson. Not just today, tomorrow, next day, 1 week. After 1 year, you bring this up again. Like this goes on and on and on. Milarepa, whatever is said, finished, done. No more conversation, done, finished. Milarepa, he has this pot. This is the only pot that he has. It's the only pot, clay pot. It's not a glass clay pot. That's where he eats, that's where he drinks. That's where he makes his offerings. One day, he's going down the creek to get water. It's kind of raining. And he slept. He slept. Then he lost that pot and hit on the one near creek, the one rock. Za. Tibetan word za, then what means za? It's like made out of clay. Za tata yujang means it's clay. The clay pot is right there. Tatame is gone. So he said, that is the nature of impermanent. He moves on. So that means every mistake, whether it's your mistake, other person's mistake, we learn lessons. First of all, first and foremost importance, we learn lessons. So then, we forgive. Yourself, you forgive, you don't go again and again. Oh, why I drop this glass in front of all these people? So why I'm like embarrassing, all this goes on and on and on. That's how this life makes miserable. So, we forget, we need to learn lessons, and we have to learn how to forget. Then make sure, does not repeat that again, make sure that's the only thing that we can do as a human being. We make sure that mistake doesn't repeat again. Okay? So, what else, Chukila? So that's what I said. So then also, you know, if that's like, I do have some story here, so now probably not here. Not like forgiving is one thing, but you know, there's one story goes like this, that I didn't say this, told this story in early sessions, but just remember that. Story is, one person is walking down the street. So there's hole, and he falls in. And he can't believe that he's in the hole. Then he gets out of the hole, then next day he's walking on the same street. And he pretends it's not there. He pretends it's not there, and he falls in. Then I did like something like that. This girl comes out. And then third day, and he falls again. Then he can't believe that he's in the same hole. Then the fourth day or fifth day, then he walks around the hall. That's what we do. So that's what's going to be like. Every process is going to be like that, you know. So that's like not repeating certain things. It's not that easy, but it requires mindfulness. Seek for your own happiness, okay? So, that's just very short sentence what Milarepa said, but there's big lessons there. We learn from mistake and we forgive ourselves. We forgive ourselves. If you have mistake, other people, we forgive. So now helping yourself according to Lamrim, how it began, you know, if Lamrim in this book, Shantideva book says, like, you are someone never dream. You are someone who never dream helping yourself. Just forget about in real life, even in dream, that you never thought, you never dreamed about helping yourself and thinking helping others. That's going to be nonsense. We can help others. So that means we have to have desire to help ourselves, at least in the dream. If not in the real life, we have to have that kind of as a wish to help yourself. How? You say in here in the Western world, it's people's therapies, psychologists, everybody talks about, oh, you have to treat yourself, you have to help yourself. Now the question is how? So now when you look at from this point of this book's point of view, how that process began, what do you mean help myself? So it required many, many knowledge. You know, it's not that easy, it's kind of complicated. First and foremost, it's important is to recognize existence, our world. It's very important to understand. If you are having expectations, unrealistic expectations, everything, my marriage, my friendship, my kids' education, my job, everything has to be perfect. That's not going to happen. Why? Because you don't understand your existence. You don't understand, according to this book. This is called samsara. In Buddhist term, it's called samsara. If you say, oh, if you are in nirvana, yeah, everything will go perfect. You don't have to think. Everything will go perfectly well. You know. So there's another thing that, you know, nothing is perfect. I am what? Nobody is perfect. I am one of nobody. You like that saying? Yeah, that's good. That's exactly what it means. That means recognizing your existence. You can expect. This is good as you can get from samsara. This is good as it can get. This is good as it can get in samsara. What else, what more you want, you can think of? You have food, beautiful road, fresh air, clean water to drink, less pollution, you know. How much you can expect, you know. So I'm happy. Usually when people ask me, oh, this is good as it can get in samsara, I don't think it can get better than that. So you can get enlightened, but that's beyond samsara. So anyway, samsara, so now recognizing nature of samsara will help. It will minimize your expectation. It will help you to overcome all the fear of being perfect, physically, mentally. You know, it's, you can work for that. You can work for that. Remaining part of samsara, you can still work for that, but you can pretend everything's fine. Everything's not going to be fine. So that's the truth. That's the reality. So whether we like to hear or not, when you read about samsara, that's what it is, the definition of samsara. So that's the reality. So then, now according to Shali, there was text, well, how to help yourself, how that process began. The first questions, all my friends, including myself, we have to ask, how I become human? How? From this point of this Shantideva's point of view, this is a big deal. So that question needs to be answered. How you become human? Do I have any clue? Or is it just extra burden? I don't want to become human, but I have already been human. Yeah, there's nothing much you can do. You are already human. You can't just transform into something else. So now questions, once you're able to answer the question, how you become human, the heart of course conditions. When you think about the pear of mango tree, how that mango exists? You have to think about tree. When you think about tree, you have to think about seeds. And there's a lot of process, not just simple, that simple. Somebody, you know, like planted, that's how this whole, everything is process. Process, how that became. Similarly, if you say, okay, mango, I know, mango will grow, you know, it's not random, somebody has a plan. This is just random, that's not true. How that can be true? This is more complicated than mango. If you think it's like easy as a mango, then I think, you know, this is very complicated, it's not like mango. You can't treat it like this, like mango. So everything else is begin process, but this one, when it comes down, this is just random accident. That's all. So this is very important. I'm not pushing you, but it's very important to include myself. I'm not just telling you, including myself. There's something that we need to think. We need to find answers. So then, according to this book, what answer you'll find, these people, they spend many, many hours of looking internal, looking in deep inside their minds, what can be done. Shantideva, great Indian master. He's not Tibetan, he's Indian, but we follow, you know, his teachings. 100 and 100 years, you know, generation by generations. So now, according to that, once we able to answer their question, maybe you can able to answer your question yourself. If not, then look at these books which have been taught 8th century. See what Shantideva was saying about these questions. No? So then you will find, what you are going to find? You are going to find, oh, this is very, very precious. I'm not just telling this to make you happy. I'm not lying. No, this has been said. You can read this book, 8th century, another book called Lamrim, taught now 650 years ago, taught by Lama Tsongkhapa. You can read that book. It's not composed by me. It's composed by Lama Tsongkhapa. Okay? So then, answer you will find, so precious, meaningful, no? Difficult to find. 20 nyeka. So then, time and time again, you hear, oh, Gisela, my life has no meaning. Not true. It's not true. You think it's true? It's not true. Every moment, what you do when you remember a mistake, you don't call, I'm bad. That's a mistake. That's not how you help yourself. When you call, I'm bad because I did this, I did that, no. Nothing, nobody is perfect. So, when you make mistake, what you do? You learn lessons. You forget. His Holiness said, Shantideva said, Lama Tsongkhapa said, you forget yourself. No, then make sure that you don't repeat that again. No? Nothing to do with religion. You just say for your own happiness. That's what you do. When you remember mistake, it does not make you incapable for change. Every second moment, you are fully capable to improve yourself. So this is why, then you know, as a Buddhist, what you do, the minute you wake up, you think about, first thought that comes in is precious human life. Isn't it wonderful? No. The minute you wake up, you are thinking something, you know, you're finding something within yourself, it makes you so happy. I can't believe it's not butter. Yeah, not joking, no? So like, I can't believe it's not precious. It is precious. So there's something, this is the kind of thing we should think about, rather than thinking only negative, oh, I'm not good, my hair's not good, my clothes not good, my job is so stressed, no? It doesn't help. So we have to be optimistic. So that's exactly helping yourself, the process of helping yourself, that's how it begins. It begins with seeing yourself is precious, meaningful, difficult to find, make sure that you don't waste it. So that's very important. So that's what we do, okay? So then slowly, you know, so then you can help other people. You know, because it's like putting mouth in your, how is it, face, then putting mouth on other people. That's exactly, many examples. So that's, you know, we try, you know. We try to, you know, try to wake up with some positive mind, you know, just think that's so precious, this is so precious, okay? So more positive mind is needed, less negative mind is also important. So that's why we meditate, okay? Mm-hmm. So then I will stop here. So now only a couple of minutes. So then also, I say, day after tomorrow, there's one, His Holiness representative, or our exiled Tibetan government representative is coming here in the evening, kindly accept, so that he's going to give talk about Tibet, like 30 minutes, it's 1 hour, 30 minutes, so then I'll probably 30 minutes people can ask question and answer. So as a Tibetan, most of you know like that, like 1959, we lost our countries. Tibet is invaded. So many problems happened, then now it's been like 6 decades. Your government, your people, the people of America, government, many European countries, contributed a lot towards our cost. And we don't hold ill feel towards Chinese. His Holiness is our leader, is like I and the heart of Tibetan people. We totally believe him and we respect him. So His Holiness is following the footsteps of Mahatma Gandhi. Totally dedicated for non-violence. When it's come down to religions, harmonies, religion harmonies, no separations. When it's come down to humanity, His Holiness say basic human value. He's not talking about separation. He's always trying to bring people together. He's not promoting Buddhism. He's just simply promoting basic human values such as compassion, loving kindness, secular ethics, ethic beyond religions, like that. And it's been like that, dedicated. So what we are, and the majority of our people is inside Tibet. They're still there. We are exiled after 1959. Now it's been like 6 decades, 60 years. Going through all kind of difficulties, emotional difficulties, then seeing news, like that. So some of you are aware that last year and this year, whole year last, lot of people inside Tibet self-immolated out of desperation, So we Tibetan people, we don't believe killing other peoples. So because culture is deeply rooted in Buddhism. So because we believe in karma, best you help, if not harm. So because of that, instead of harming other people, they just simply just, fire themselves, set themselves fire, that rather than carrying something that blows up, 100 people, they don't do. And many of them, early 20s, mid 20s, early 30s, they are them young. Most of them are monks and nuns, because they don't have family, so no children. So that's out of desperation. So then we, as a Tibetan, we feel living in the free world countries. Each one of us feel kind of responsibility to do something. So, and I'm very, very grateful all your support, sympathies to your government and through SFT, Student for Free Tibet, all kind of organizations. So final request is, if you have time, day after tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, then please come. So we do need your support or sympathy. We need your prayers because the goal is to reach some kind of solutions that we can live side by side without hurting each other. We are not, His Holiness said, repeatedly said, and I support His Holiness' approach, not all the Tibetan, but middle way approach. That means seeking solutions that benefit Tibetan people, that benefit Chinese, then not seeking independence, seeking something within the people of China and able to, preserve the teachings which teach us nonviolence. So then it's also Tibetan struggle is also indirectly related to Buddhism, and Buddhism is indirectly related to the world peace, and it has potential to contribute to people to develop inner peace. So, and if you have time, then please come. So I just want to tell them to just say, if you have time, then please come. 7 o'clock, so there will be 30-minute talk, latest information, then 30 minutes will be question and answer, okay? With that, then I will conclude. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay, we'll say some dedication prayers, but first I'd like to read our prayer list. Prayers for a happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters, all the Tibetans who have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom. George M. Gibbetsberger, Gary Goldberg, Tig Jones, Maurice, Richard Lenahan, Catherine Powell, Charles Renard, Theodore Henry Schreppel, David Allen Swanger, Brianna Yontz, Lunabelle the Rat, Simon Oliver the Cat, and Soha the Duckling. Prayers for health and well-being. Kabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, Venerable Tsepal, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters, for the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Jim Barnes, Malak Ability, Joya Colombo, Andrew Cook, Susan Daniel, Richard First, Mildred Gooch, Francis Hayashi, Leslie and Joan Inman, Kenny Jackson and Buddy, Helen Kasanoff, Vanessa Lilligan family, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Mac, Nelson Mandela, Ian Moeller, Marie Murphy, Adrian Oliver, Jay Pandya, Aunt Polly, R.G., Faye Renard and family, Jason Lee Roman, Dr. Albert Sons, Rosemary Cease, Aunt Barbara Tai, Dion Washington, Dorothy Wortis, Judith Wormser, Betsy Yontz, Kadro, and Dorje the Pigs. And if you have any names to add, please say them now. Okay, so if we turn in the prayer book to the pink sheet, we'll say the dedication verses from Shantideva. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you're the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion. To the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Awatari, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the Siddur's moral way, who serves as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjina's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. Om Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Re Soha.